in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to our weekly Bible study as we consider the general topic, the application of the doctrine of redemption. And today we are going to be looking at conversion and repentance. Conversion and repentance. I believe by now the family should have taken time to read the background study to today's passage, the background passage to today's study. But let me read for the purpose of emphasis, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse number 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. God now commands every man everywhere to repent. We have previously examined how God himself, through human spirit of the word, issues the gospel call to us by the work of the Holy Spirit, and how he regenerates us, imparting new life into us. Now we will look at how we respond to the gospel call. Conversion is a willing response to the gospel call, in which we sincerely repent of our sins and place our trust in Christ for salvation. The word conversion itself actually means a spiritual turn, a turn from sin to Christ. The turning from sin is called repentance, and the turning to Christ is called faith. We shall examine the saving faith first, and then we shall look at repentance. True saving faith includes knowledge, approval, and personal trust. Knowledge alone is not enough. Personal saving faith, in the way the scripture understands it, involves more than mere knowledge. Of course, it is necessary that we have some knowledge of Christ, who is, what he has done for us, how we are to believe in him, and take necessary action. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? But the knowledge about the facts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for us is not enough. For people can know facts, yet rebel against the facts or dislike them. For example, Paul tells us that many people who know God's law, but they dislike them. In Romans 1:32, the Bible says, though they know God's decree, that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but approve those who practice them. Even the demons know who God is and know the facts about Jesus' life and saving works for them. But the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. The Bible says the demons believe, but they shudder. It didn't say they repent or they turn from their evil ways. So the knowledge of Christ does not mean that we are saved. So there must be knowledge. Number two, then there must be approval. But we need to see that knowledge alone is not enough. And number two, knowledge and approval are not even enough. Moreover, mere knowing the facts and approving them or agreeing that they are true is not enough. When you look at the story of Nicodemus, he came to Jesus at night. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. John 3:2. Here, Nicodemus had evaluated the facts of the situation, including Jesus' teaching and his remarkable miracles. He had drawn a correct conclusion. Based on that, Jesus was a teacher that came from God. But this alone did not mean that Nicodemus had saving faith, for he still had to put his trust in Christ for salvation. He still had to believe in him For example, King Agrippa provides another platform. You know, he had knowledge of Jesus, but he had approval, but he had no saving faith. Paul realized that this King Agrippa knew, apparently viewed with approval, the Jewish scripture. When Paul was on trial before Agrippa, he said, King Agrippa, do you believe in the prophets? I know what you believe. Yet Agrippa did not have saving faith, but he said to Paul, in a short time, you think you can make me a Christian? So, knowledge and approval are not enough. The first one, we have said that in true repentance and conversion, knowledge alone is not enough. Number two, knowledge and approval are not enough. But number three, you must decide to depend on Jesus to save you personally. In addition to knowledge of the facts of the gospel and approval of those facts, for you to be saved, you must decide to depend on Jesus to save you. In doing this, you must move from being just an interested observer of the facts of salvation to the teachings of the Bible to being someone who enters into a new relationship with Jesus Christ as a living person. That's why, you see, we will hear some Muslims that will say, yeah, we know Christ, we've heard about him, we believe in what he said about him, even in our Quran, this and this are spoken, but they don't believe in him as the Savior. Saving faith in Jesus is a trust in Jesus as a living person for the forgiveness of our sins and for eternal life with God. This definition emphasizes that saving faith is not just a belief in facts, but it's a personal trust in Jesus to save us. We must rightly summarize the two major concerns of a person who trusts in Christ as one, forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God. Eternal life with God involves such matters as a declaration of righteousness before God, which is part of justification, adoption, sanctification, and glorification, which we will study later. We need to emphasize personal trust in Christ, not just believing facts about Christ, because saving faith in Scripture involves this personal trust. The word trust here is a better word to use in contemporary culture than the word faith or belief. The reason is that we can believe something to be true with no personal commitment to it. When a person comes to Christ, all three elements must be present. There must be some basic knowledge or understanding of the facts of the gospel. There must be approval of those facts. And such agreement will include a conviction that the facts spoken of the gospel are true, especially that the fact that I am a sinner in need of salvation, and that Christ alone has paid the penalty for my sin, and he has offered me salvation. It includes an awareness that I need to trust in Christ for my salvation. And that is the only way to God and the only means provided for our salvation. And number four, faith should increase as our knowledge increases. Now, when our knowledge of Christ increases, our faith in Christ will also increase. Saving faith is consistent with knowledge and true understanding of the facts. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Since this is the very word of God, our God's word is reliable. We can gain knowledge of Christ through them. So we must put in much effort to gather more knowledge, because the increase of our knowledge of God should actually increase our faith in him. Now today, before we close, let us try to understand the relationship between faith and repentance. Faith and repentance must come together. Repentance is the heartfelt sorrow for sin, renouncing of it, and sincere commitment to forsake it and walk in obedience to Christ. This is godly sorrow, a sorrow for sin and a hatred for it. And the personal decision to turn from it, that is renouncing of our sins and living a new life. Of course, genuine repentance will result in a changed life. In fact, a truly repentant person will be seen living a new life, a changed life. We can call that changed life the fruit of repentance. But we should never attempt to require that there be a period of time in which a person actually lives a changed life, because repentance is something that occurs in the heart, and it involves the whole person in a decision to turn from sin. It is also important to realize that mere sorrow for one action, or even deep remorse over one's action, does not constitute genuine repentance unless it is accompanied by a sincere decision to forsake that sin that is being committed against God. Paul preached about repentance to God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. A worldly sort of grief may involve great sorrow of one's action, but that does not mean one has repented. Until you change, the Bible speaks of Esau, that he wept over the consequences of his action, but did not really repent. You find that in Hebrews 12:7. Repentance and faith are simply two different sides of the same coin, or two different aspects of the one event of conversion. The person who genuinely turns to Christ for salvation must at the same time release the sin to which he or she has been clinging and turn away from that sin in order to turn to Christ. Thus, neither repentance nor faith comes first. They must come together. Just as John Murray would say, penitent faith and believing repentance. Penitent faith and believing repentance. So both faith and repentance will continue throughout our life. It does not end on the day of conversion. It will continue. Although we have been considering initial faith and repentance as the two aspects of conversion, which occurs at the beginning of our Christian life, it is important to realize that faith and repentance are not confined to the beginning of the Christian life. There will always be things to repent of. There will always be issues, and there will always be things to believe God for, so that we can see His heart, His hand of miracles. These two are rather attitudes of the heart that continue throughout our lives as Christians. Like a man will say, I repent daily, I die daily. Jesus tells His disciples to pray daily. And in that prayer, I said, forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven those who sinned against us. This is a prayer that, if it is genuine, it will certainly involve a daily sorrow for sin and genuine repentance. And the reason Christ says to the church in Laos this year, those whom I love, I reprove and chasten. So be zealous and repent. That is Revelation 3:19. And you find the same in 2 Corinthians 7:10. Although it is true that initial saving faith and initial repentance occur only once in our lives, and when they occur, they constitute true conversion. Nevertheless, the heart continues to repent and faith continues to increase in our hearts. This same attitude should continue throughout the course of our Christian lives. Each day, there should be heartfelt repentance for sins that we have committed, and faith in Christ to provide for our needs and to empower us to live the Christian life. It's my prayer that God will give us grace to repent daily, to be better, and may our faith increase in Him. And as we have increased in faith, may we experience increase in miracles and blessings in Jesus' name. The family can now take time to reflect on what we have had today, and may God's grace be multiplied to us in Jesus' name. Amen.